Summer's concert season and rock fans like past season are still clamoring to see icons. They have the draw, but do they still have it? GLT culture commentator and ISU English professor Bill McBride set aside some summertime to enjoy concerts. His schedule, Dead & Company at Wrigley in June, Paul McCartney at Tinley Park in June, George Thorogood at the BCPA in Bloomington, and back to Wrigley to see Billy Joel August 11th. McBride thinks all of the acts protested President Trump in their own way. He says the highlight for him was seeing a former Beatle, McCartney, performing 39 songs over almost 3 hours. McBride called the experience incredible.
I'm old enough to have been there in front of my black and white television in 64 watching Ed Sullivan. And I've been a Beatle fan ever since, and I'm not alone. And I lost it. I mean, I was a Beatle. It was Beatlemania. I was screaming like many of the gals around me.
He opened with that classic chord, right? Oh. From A Hard Day's Night, yeah. Right?
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night, I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home
did
to
he,
you,
Goosebumps?
Yeah, he did John songs. He did all kinds of things.
Is there a musical moment other than, you know, the opening song, A Hard Day's Night, that stood out for you?
There were two. I would say that when he dedicated Maybe I'm Amazed to Linda.
Okay, let's listen to that, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Maybe I'm amazed the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed.
So this song he dedicated to Linda, Maybe I'm Amazed. Paul McCartney played that at his concert at Tinley Park. Why this moment in this concert for you, Bill?
So I reviewed that record when it first came out, the McCartney record, in my high school newspaper, and was just, okay, I'm going to say it, amazed that he plays all of the instruments. He wrote it all. He kind of impersonates Harrison on guitar and Ringo on drums. At the show, it was just, you know, there's been some question about his voice. I thought his voice was fine. Yes, he's in his 70s. He's a little older. He's not that, you know, he's still cute. But he's not that mop top who could hit all the notes. It's true. But it did not distract at all or detract.
So you heard music written by Lennon and McCartney for the Beatles during the Beatle era. There's Paul McCartney and Wings. They played some of that stuff, which is great stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's simply solo McCartney stuff. What was the strongest for you? And do you think it depended, the strongest stuff for one concert goer wasn't the strongest stuff for another?
Oh, undoubtedly, right?
Everybody has their favorites.
Yeah. But I mean, and you know, folks have come into his career at different stages. I've seen it from the beginning, and I've heard it from the beginning. So I'm giving you that, you know, the whole smorgasbord reaction. And I was in heaven. I had never seen a Beatle live, and I saw one. And I guess I never really, even though I loved and followed his solo career, I always think of him as a Beatle.
One of the reviews I read gave a lot of props to his band, and they talked about how McCartney was part of the band, the leader of this band, not just an icon propped up in front of a backing band.
Absolutely. You're right. It was not, you know, Doc Severinsen up front, and you don't know all everyone else's nameless. He introduced everybody, and they were wonderful. They were spot on. I mean, you know, he's allegedly a taskmaster. So if you're going to play for McCartney, you're going to be spot on, and they were.
That's Sound Ideas culture commentator Bill McBride. We're talking with him about his summer concert experiences. He saw some icons this summer, including The Dead & Company on June 30th at Wrigley Field. Is the mystique still there without Jerry Garcia?
No and yes. So the mystique, you know, Bob Weir, who I think was 15 when the band started, he is so much part of the band, and I'm going to say the crowd. I mean, the Deadheads. Wrigley Field filled up with all of these happy people. I mean, they're
so
great.
So Wrigley got a mellow Dead vibe to it.
It totally did. And we had a nice little spot. We stood and danced right on first base. And, you know, they were a ways away out there in center field. But They've got monitors. You know, same with McCartney.
How does John Mayer sound in place of Jerry? And beyond a replacement for Garcia, what does he bring to the band?
Right. So, I mean, I don't put him in that spot. He does a little of the Jerry stuff, but it's mostly Bob Weir. And John Mayer was not a huge factor. I hope his people aren't listening, but he just blended in, I would say.
So just another member of the band.
He struck me as so, yes.
Was there a song where you turned the corner from the Grateful Dead to the Dead and Company and sort of said, okay, well, maybe it's not the Dead, but it's enough like the Dead, and that's good enough?
Well, so my favorite song was the song they ended with, their encore.
U.S. Blues?
U.S. Blues, Uncle Sam's Blues. Now, that's a Jerry song, and Jerry sings it. But Weir sang it, and it was lovely, and it was authentic.
Let's listen to a little of U.S. Blues. It's the Dead and Company.
Red and white, blue state shoes.
U.S. Blues, The Grateful Dead. Why this song?
Well, because it spoke to me about the current situation in America since November. And in fact, every concert I went to, there was a nod to Trump.
We'll get to that in a moment. Staying local for the next concert on your summer list.
Yeah, yeah.
How does George Thorogood at the BCPA rate in the same league as McCartney, the Dead, and Billy Joel, who we'll talk about in just a moment?
Okay, that's fine.
Or does George Thorogood rate in that list?
He does for me in the following ways. First off, I had a radio show in the 80s at the University of Delaware, and he was listening to my show in his car with his band. And he called me on a 1983 or whatever it was car phone and said, "I love your show, man. Can I stop by?" So he came in the studio.
Really?
Yeah. I think I was playing like some Butthole Surfer or something that he called up and liked. And so I've always loved him for that. So he's this sort of a local pride there for Delaware.
Sure.
And that I had my brush.
So I don't know if I think of him as an icon. Bad to the Bone, that song is iconic, though.
Yes.
Does George still have the skills on the guitar?
Oh, amen.
And the band, the Destroyers, too? I mean, most of the original Destroyers are still with him.
He's got a good number of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I would say my favorite song he did and my favorite George Thorogood song is Move It On Over. I think that's terrific. But and that's a Hank Williams song, so he's resurrected that, which I always love when artists do that, resurrect classic Americana.
He did that with John Lee Hooker's song, too, One Scotch, One Bourbon, One Beer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the George Thorogood concert, how did it rate compared to everything else that we've talked about so far?
They're
apples
all
and oranges somewhat,
it
but
is,
still.
It is. It's apples and oranges. And I'm just delighted I was able to spend this time. I didn't take a vacation this summer. I was teaching and also doing another seminar thing. So we didn't get away, but we got to concerts.
It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Bill McBride, and this is Billy Joel.
Come out, Virginia, don't let me wait. Catholic girls start much too late. All the sooner or later it comes down to fate. I might as well be the one. Well, they showed you a statue, told you to pray. They built you a temple and locked you away. Ah, but they never told you the price that you pay. The things that you might have done. Only the good die young.
Only the good die young, Billy Joel, appropriate because you've seen some great musicians who are still at it, including the piano man himself, Billy Joel. You saw him on August 11th. I listened to a lot of Billy Joel until New Wave took over my life in the late 70s. At Wrigley, he apologized for not having any new material. Would the audience have wanted to hear that anyway?
Well, Sir Paul did a couple of new things, and they were tolerated. But we want what we want. And you say that you were a Billy Joel fan until New Wave. I always admired him from afar. I claimed him because he's a New Yorker, as I am, and we have the same first name. We stopped there. But my wife adores Billy Joel, and that is why we went to that show, and I'm so glad we did.
At Wrigley, he gave the audience down on the field fielder's choice.
Oh.
What did he do?
Oh, yeah. So he said, oh, it's a maddening poll. Do you want to hear Vienna or Just the Way You Are? And folks screamed more for Vienna. And I wanted to hear Just the Way. But he just dangled it in front of you.
He did that several times, too, right?
He did. He said, choose longest time or innocent man. And I mean, I kind of know longest time, but I didn't really know innocent man. Incidentally, the band warmed up with The Lion Sleeps Tonight to do that.
Really?
He quoted Zeppelin. He did Rock and Roll. They quoted Day in the Life and Hard Day's Night. Elton John's Your Song. Chicago's 25 or 6 to 4. He even did Puccini's Nessa Dorma. So, I mean, he's a musician and he knows what he's doing.
You wanted to focus on a 1977 song, Moving Out, from this concert. Let's listen to a little of that and then we'll talk about why.
Mama Leone left a note on the door. She said, sonny, move out to the country. Mama, working too hard to give you a heart attack. You wanna know by now. Who needs a house out to pack a sack? Is that all you get for your money? Such a waste of time. If that's what it's all about, Mama, if that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
Moving Out from Billy Joel, played about halfway through his Wrigley Field concert on August 11th. We're talking with Sound Ideas culture commentator Bill McBride about some of the summer icons he saw, or some of the rock icons he saw this summer. Why did you want to talk about Moving Out?
I wanted you to play it. I don't have a lot to say about it. It was, for me, the highlight of the show. I thought he nailed it, and it opened up the song to me in a way I hadn't. It had just been a hit on the radio. I'd never really paid attention to it, other than the heart attack, and it was just the highlight for me.
So these performers, they're all getting older. That's one thing they have in common. Joel sounds huskier. You referenced McCartney's voice earlier. What did you think of Billy Joel's singing ability?
Billy Joel was spot on. I mean, it could have been 1977, other than his male pattern baldness. I mean, he was terrific.
We all get that.
Well, some more than
others. We should take a side-by-side picture. And something else you think they all had in common was a protest of sorts. They all did it a different way, but a protest against President Trump. What did the Dead and Company do? Was it the song U.S. Blues?
I think so. I mean, they didn't call him out. No one called Trump out. That's right, because you don't know who your audience. I mean, you know most of your audience, but you don't want to alienate someone. So yeah, they ended with I've got the Uncle Sam blues, and that was my reading that it was.
What about McCartney?
Well, McCartney did a song called 1985, which is an apocalyptic song. No one left alive in 1985. He wrote it in 73, I think. But the notion of nuclear war and so on that we're all contemplating a little more closely these days. I thought that was a potential nod anyway.
George Thorogood, he had a Trump protest of sorts.
Oh, he opened his show with the lights down, and he played the entire 1964 Barry McGuire song, Eve of Destruction. And you know he paid the rights for that. And he gave over that 2.5 minutes of his show. And it just makes the audience wonder why.
Sure.
And I think I have an answer.
So Billy Joel got some press for something he did after Charlottesville, but he also acknowledged Trump during his Chicago concert. Can you talk about both?
Yeah. He sang Maria from West Side Story, but he redid the lyrics to Korea. And that's a clear indication of the business going on right now with North Korea and the rattling of nuclear sabers.
And after Charlottesville, he wore the Star of David at some concerts.
At Madison Square Garden, he wore an enormous Star of David on both the front and the back of his jacket. He's not religious, or he's not practicing, but he was born of Jewish parents. And that, I think, as well, you're right. It was right after Charlottesville, and it's a reaction to the current administration.
Bill McBride is an ISU English professor and our Sound Ideas culture commentator. Bill, thanks for sharing your experiences with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.